Hello, everybody. It's John. And this afternoon, I'm talking to Lois Scharf. And she's interested in a very big wheel, in the cogs that make the food bank go round. And at this time of life, these troubled times, it's obviously a very vital part of our community at the moment. And I'm always interested in how people get involved in something as vital as this. And, you know, what do they do and what's it like and, you know, any little wrinkles and things. So over to you, Lois. How did you come to be interested in this?
Oh, thank you very much. And thank you for coming to interview us as well.
Oh, you're
interview
more than
me
welcome.
To talk about the food bank. Mm. The food bank, sadly, and we say this sadly, because it's a bit of a shame that we need a food bank in the UK, or food banks.
Yes.
And we set up running about 10 years ago. So in June, it'll be 10 years that the food bank's been operating.
In Todmorden?
In Todmorden, yeah. And we initially thought it would be kind of a few years, a bit of an emergency provision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And really sadly, it's kind of, it's still needed. And so it's really sad. So what happened was they opened the doors. So I'm not part of the founding team. So there was a core group of people that set the food bank up that were, Owen, who was the vicar at St Mary's at the time, was part of the committee that set up the food bank and agreed it could operate out of St Mary's. So I must stress, there was about 18 months, 2 years worth of really hard work went on behind the scenes to get it up and running.
Before
we started. So they opened the doors in June, and then there was a piece in the paper about wanting volunteers.
Yeah.
So me and my husband, I said, And I'm going to be really honest, part of the reason I went is because I was so angry. I was so angry, not at people needing food banks, but that we needed a food bank in the UK, in a very wealthy country, in a small town like Todmorden that I've grown up in and lived in nearly all my life. I was just like, how can this be? How can we need this?
Yeah.
So I decided that instead of just being angry and annoyed at austerity, I was going to try and do something more positive.
I see. Yeah.
So I went down. Had a chat with Janet Garner, who's the volunteer coordinator, who was part of the setting up of the food bank.
Yes.
And then just kind of joined from there. So been, nearly 10 years involved in the food bank.
So it had been going how long before you joined?
About a month.
Oh, not very long.
The doors had opened, so it had officially been opened.
Right.
About a month.
Yeah.
When.
But it's a lot of work behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I can well imagine. And part of that will be finding volunteers. Is it difficult finding volunteers these days?
Do you know what? It actually isn't, and we actually have a lot of volunteers.
Oh,
so we need a lot of volunteers. So we normally have about 70 volunteers involved in a weekly basis. So there's a lot of us. Involved.
A weekly basis.
Yeah, so we all do various different things.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, people don't realise how much management and running it takes to run it.
I didn't, for
So there's a lot of us involved. But we're never short of volunteers. People always contact and ask, can we get involved? What can we do? And I think it's probably because we allow people to do as little or as much as they want. And, you know, you can come along, you can commit to what fits around your personal life.
Right.
And
so,
then,
so how much time a week, a month, do your gift do it?
So personally, I do. So shall I tell you a bit about how it runs?
Yeah,
and then
go on.
I'm going to say that might be the easiest way
to
explain it, and then the different volunteer roles. So basically, on a Saturday morning, so we run out of Todmorden College now. So about nearly 2 years ago, we moved just because we needed a bigger space. So we moved out of St Mary's, which was kind of really sad because we've been there a long time.
Mm.
But we needed more space, and we were having to pay for storage units for the food. So that was like an extra cost.
Right, yeah.
So now at the college, we've got all the food is stored there, and we've got a little bit more space. So people come. So we run on a Saturday morning, and people can come from about 9:30 in the morning through till about 12 o'clock. We shut at dinner time.
Right.
And people turn up, and if you're new, you will be met by a volunteer who will ask you for some basic details. Now, we don't ask for proof, and we don't ask for people to be referred. We take people on trust.
Right.
Because we understand that for lots of people, being in the situation where they can't feed themselves or their family is really difficult and very shameful for a lot of people.
So you have to be non-judgmental, haven't you?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm.
So that's one of our kind of fundamental principles,
mm.
is that we're not going to ask people for proof, and we will take people on trust. So you'll be met by a volunteer, who will take some basic details. So we ask for people's names and addresses and kind of who's in the household and what their circumstances are. Now, we ask for that because we apply for grants and funding, and also to keep track of who's kind of using the food bank, kind of some of the issues that are happening that are leading people to come to the food bank. So that's how we kind of use the information, but not for kind of anything else.
No,
really.
Actually, yeah.
So you'd be met by a volunteer, they'll take some basic information. And then what we, another kind of absolute fundamental that we won't move from, is that we allow people choice of what food they can take.
Ah, right. So, because not all food banks do they?
No, so right. Some food banks will give a pre-packed bag. Mm. Yeah, so we, again, and that's about trying to treat people with a bit of respect. And humility, and that these are human beings who are in difficult situations. So they get a list of food that they can choose, and then some toiletries that they can choose, and then they hand that in to another set of volunteers, and then that form gets taken to the back of the college where we've got our food store, and then their bags are packed, and then when the bags are ready, so in while their bags are being packed, people can go and sit in the cafe if they want.
Oh, yeah.
They can have a cup of tea. They can have a bit of food. We also have what's called the distribution room. So where we get things that are like, I was going to say odds and sods, but that makes it sound really bad, doesn't it?
You never know what people
want. Well, no. And sometimes we get things that are donated that are like one-off things.
Yeah.
And then we've got some fresh fruit and vegetables and eggs as well.
All right.
And so people can go and choose extras on top of the kind of tinned foods and the kind of rice and things like that that they've chosen. So that'll change week from week.
Yeah.
So there's a standard list of food that people can choose from that doesn't change very often. That's the like 17 items they can have. And then in the distribution room, there's like fresh fruit, vegetables and lots of other random items that have been donated.
And how does a client, a customer, whatever you call it?
Just a person.
Right. How do they know what else is available besides what's on the list?
So they'll go into the distribution room and there'll be another set of volunteers in that room.
Yeah.
And they'll have set it out before the food bank opens and people can just choose.
Yeah.
And we try and limit it. So we make it, try and be as fair as possible so people can't take masses.
Yes.
So there's enough kind of to be spread out.
I see, yeah.
But the reality is, later on in the morning that you come, probably less choice there's going to be because things will have gone.
But
we try and make it as fair as possible.
Yeah.
So you can see that we have a lot of volunteers.
You
we have
need
volunteers,
them,
that,
won't you?
Yeah, volunteers that greet people, take information off people, check them in, and you know, kind of we don't have a register as such, but we'll make a note that somebody's been each week or maybe not every week or whenever. Then you've got a set of volunteers running the cafe, a set of volunteers in distribution, you've got a set of volunteers packing the bags, and then you've got a set of volunteers taking the bags to the people that are waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, we have a set of volunteers, which is the role that I do, and I do it once a month, is we have the shopping list is sent to Aldi's, so the standard food items that we have every week.
Oh.
We purchase that from Aldi next door to the college.
You purchase it from Aldi?
Yes, we buy it from Aldi. And on a Monday, you'll see at 10:30, a group of volunteers in the car park loading up their cars with tinned foods and milk and nappies and other things. And we drive that round to the college and we replenish the stores so that on Saturday morning, everything's there.
So the obvious question I've got to ask now is where do you get that money from?
So we have, do you know what? It makes me incredibly proud, and I get kind of quite emotional when I think about it, is that we have a lot of support in the Valley from local residents in Todmorden. And we have a local giving page where we ask people to either pledge a £5 pledge a month or a week, whatever people can afford. And then we have like one-off donations. So we raise quite a bit of money through that. But then we also then, and that's another role that I have in the food bank, is that we apply for funding. So we apply for grants and funding, anything that we think is relevant where we can get extra money. So just to give you some idea, we spend about £10,000 a month.
A month?
Yeah. The cost of living crisis hasn't just hit people coming to food banks. It's hit us as well as a food bank.
Of course, everybody, yeah.
The price of food's gone up.
Has it?
Yes.
Surprise.
So, of course, it means that it's more expensive for us to buy it.
Of course, yes.
Which has had a massive impact on the amount of money that we've got to, you know, to buy the food.
But you're still smiling, so...
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't the money coming in adequately?
Yeah, it is. Like I said, we're really lucky, and I think it would be fair to say what really surprises me is when something happens and it seems to be a big news story. So, for instance, in COVID, so we managed to keep going through COVID. And after COVID, the government increased people's universal credits by a £20 uplift. And then after the pandemic stopped or eased, they reduced the £20 uplift on people's benefits. And what we found was when things like that happen, we get an influx of people donating money. And it's almost like a response to, you know, people understanding that this is going to hit people really hard. Yeah.
Isn't that gratifying?
Yeah, it is. And that's what I mean. That's always, it really, really, warms my heart.
Tugs the heartstrings.
Yeah, it does. Because I think for a lot of people, they think they're for the grace of God, you know.
Well, absolutely. We're never far away from being there ourselves, are we?
No.
It's true.
So we have a lot of support in the community, a lot of people, a lot of businesses. We have, more often than not, people will make anonymous donations and are really generous. People will, my colleague Janet had to go and pick up some money from one of the funeral directors because the funeral collection was to raise money for the food bank. You're really surprised where we're in people's thoughts.
Where it's all coming from.
Yeah. Right. And the Valley, I've got to say two plugs. So the Valley Choir, have been absolutely brilliant. So they've raised money through their concerts.
I've seen that in the local paper.
Yeah. The Women's Institute in Hebden Bridge last year they made us their charity of the year, and they raised, I think off the top of my head, about £4,500
wow,
over the
big
year.
Big money, isn't it?
It is.
Even though he'll get through it, won't he?
Yeah. So, you know, it really, we have all these little local organisations that often will think about us as well.
Now you mentioned Hebden Bridge then, and I understand you're moving away from Tomlin itself soon. Yep. Is there a food bank down in Hebden Bridge?
Yeah. So just to clarify, we're personally moving house, so the food bank's not moving.
No, right, yes.
So don't want people thinking that it's leaving Tomlin.
You'll still be connected with the
family.
Yeah,
absolutely.
One.
Yeah, right, yeah, still be involved.
Right.
We've done a lot of, so that's the other thing we do as well. So if people want to set up food banks, we will support them as much as we can. We will share our knowledge, we'll tell them about how, you know, we've set up and what works for us, and we will try and help them link with grants and, you know, connect them with people. Now, Hebden Bridge has tried, but it's kind of never got off the ground. So, again, the other plug I need to make is to Todmorden Town Council and Hebden Bridge Council have been incredibly supportive with grants.
Right.
And we have this understanding that people in the Upper Valley from Todd and Hebden Bridge can come, no questions asked, you know, they can use Todmorden Food Bank.
So there is a sort of geographical limit.
Yeah.
You couldn't have anybody from, shall we say, over the border?
Yeah, I mean, no, not really. I mean, so if somebody turns up and says, I live in Halifax, for instance, we wouldn't turn them away. That we would let them take a food parcel, but we'll give them the details of the two food banks in
the
Halifax.
One. Right.
You know, and if there's food banks in the area where the person's come from, we'll encourage them to go to those food banks, because we have a lot of people come in. We don't, you know, we're spending a lot of money each month already. And so it's trying to kind of look after the people in the immediate area.
Yeah, fair enough.
But roughly
how many people would come a week?
So at the minute it's peaking. Well, it's roughly about 135 people are coming. Now, I have to let you know that that's 135 people that are coming to get food parcels, but that's probably feeding about between 250 to 300 plus people in Todmorden.
Right.
And to give you some perspective, this time last year we were having 80. So the cost of living crisis has had a huge impact on people coming to the food bank. And I would say it probably started around about September, October last year, when people's gas and electric prices started to increase, coupled with the food prices. You know, this has been a really, really big issue for us. And, you know, we are absolutely committed to helping people out. But we've had to start to have conversations about if it gets to 150 week in, week out, you know, what will we do then? How will we make sure that the money's there to keep the food bank going? Yeah. And how are we going to carry on supporting people?
So I guess you, really from a sort of social point of view, you would be happy if the numbers went down and there wasn't the need for
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and we always have this conversation as a group of, you know, because the other thing to say as well is that every single person is a volunteer and all the money that we use is either raised through donations or through grants. So, you know, this is a lot of work and we constantly have this conversation about, you know, we really shouldn't exist. You know,
In an ideal world, we shouldn't be here.
Of course not. But how can we not help people?
Mm.
And so then one of the other things that we do as well, which is quite a recent move, which again has been really positive, is that every Saturday we have an agency, an advice agency. So we might have a welfare benefits, disability advice. We've got people who can give advice about gas and electric. And so that's a rolling rota. So I think we've got five organisations and they take it in turns every Saturday so that people can come and get a bit of advice as
Almost like citizens' advice.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit
but,
like that.
But not that,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah, because what we find is that people that are coming to the food bank are either have got issues with their benefit payments, have been made redundant and are absolutely just no idea what to do with regards to benefits. You've got people that are pension age as well, because we've got quite a large number of pensioners that are really struggling. So again, trying to make sure, because what you find is, and all the research shows from people like the Joseph Rowntree Foundation, that welfare benefits are massively underclaimed. And so if you can help people claim the money they're entitled to, it gives them more money and then they don't need to come to the food bank.
So you must have some fairly specialised people then in that little group.
Yeah, we do.
Who, again, are volunteers?
Yes, yeah, they are. Mm. And people like the Tomodden Emergency Support. So that's a fund that's run that they can give out emergency funds to families and individuals that are struggling.
Yeah,
so for instance, you know, if your cooker suddenly goes and you are in masses of arrears with gas and electric and rent arrears maybe, or you've just been made redundant, how do you afford to replace your cooker? Which then has an impact on what you're able to eat.
Yeah, yeah.
So having
quality of life. Nosedives.
Absolutely. So having people like TES involved is really important because they can access money really quickly and help get somebody a new cooker or a new washer or, you know, anything that is really helpful to them.
Now, you talked about setting up, if anybody wanted help setting up a food bank. I guess there wouldn't be another one in Tomodden setting up, surely.
No, there's a very small one up in Cornholme. So I think Tomodden's quite interesting, isn't it? Because it's almost like some little villages and then you've got kind of the town centre. So there is a little food bank up in Cornholme for people up in Cornholme. And again, we support them as much as we can. Yeah.
Right.
So we sometimes give them extra food if we've got extra food, if they, you know, they've... some of the volunteers up there started in the Tomodden Food Bank and have then gone up to Cornholme, money as well. Another thing I need to say that we've done and we try and support as much as we can is on Christmas Day, there's been a group of people over the last few years that have done a free Christmas meal. So they did it at the Golden Lion and then I think they did it last year at the Unitarian Church.
Yeah.
So again, if we can support organisations and groups of people doing things like that, then we will... you know, if we've got the capacity or we've got a bit of finance or a bit of spare food, then we'll help out there as well.
I see.
This is about community connection. You know, it's about being, you know, sadly we are part of the community and we're quite an integral part of the community. And it's kind of supporting people where we can in whatever way we can, but with food and food poverty being kind of central to it. So, you know, that's a really important thing.
Yeah.
The last thing, you might have a few more questions, I don't know, but one of the other really important things that I want to get across is that for lots of people, it's not just about food and not having access to food. It's about being lonely and isolated as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we find that a lot of people come down to the food bank and it can be their only social interaction in the week.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a couple of our volunteers, so I'll give a shout out to June Turner, who's fantastic. She headed up, she did a survey with some other volunteers to find out what did people appreciate about the food bank, what did they think needed to change, and the cafe and kind of being able to come down and sit and chat to people was like one of the most important things for people.
Yeah. And so, especially during the winter, from the sort of keeping warm point of view.
Absolutely.
Because I know I interviewed the people that run the crypt and a few months ago, and it was, you know, pretty cold then, and they were just starting, and so that's still going on, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's quite separate from from yourselves?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And again, and I think this is one of the other things. One of the things that the council have done, and lots of local councils have done, is in response to the gas and electric price rises, is set up warm hubs.
Yes.
So you've now got food hubs and warm hubs.
Yeah.
Which again is just, I mean, oh, it's just mind-boggling, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of astounding that we need this.
Yeah.
But then it's really interesting and heartwarming
that people have seen the need.
Yeah,
what
and
can
have
we
responded
do?
To
like
it.
In the library, you know, in coffee and biscuits there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's this thing about social interaction and connecting and meeting people.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see some really lovely, like, friendships have developed and people will come and somebody will say, I've got this in my pack and I don't really need it, because they've heard somebody else say, you know, they're struggling.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, and people share things.
Yeah.
You know, it's really good. It's really heartwarming.
And what I find really heartwarming, Lois, is, you know, that there are still these volunteers that are willing to do this kind of thing, because I've been in lots of groups over the years where we've really struggled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been a really thin red line and it's always been down to two or three people to keep something going.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like that here.
No,
that's wonderful.
Yeah. And again, and I think it is because people can commit to as little or as much as they want.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a set of different roles and you can, like I say, I do once a month now because I've been so busy with work.
You work as well?
I work part-time. So kind of fitting it in around that, you know, so once a month kind of suits me.
Once I'm in doing, ask a busy person.
And then, you know, we're sitting on the management committee with all the rest of the great board of trustees and, you know, we've got people doing different roles there. And again, people don't need to step up if they don't want to, so they can just come and...
It's nice that you have so many people that you can say that to, and it isn't down to two or three people.
Yeah, we've been very, very lucky. So.
Yeah, well, so has the town.
Yeah.
And thank you for that.
Oh, no, you're more than welcome.
It's been really, really interesting. Thank you, Lois, and all the best for the future.
Thank you. And if people are interested, then they can, you know, look us up on Facebook. We're on Facebook, and there's the website as well.
All right.
So it's Topperdon Food Drop-In on Facebook.
On Facebook. And what is it on the website?
Again, it's Topperdon Food Drop-In. So if you just Google that, then we'll come up on the website.
I see.
And, if people want to donate, then the links are
on
there.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well,
right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.